Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. Quick ad here at the top, because I haven't done one of those in a while. If you like what you've heard here on this podcast and you want to truly get serious about making better decisions, you know, rewiring unhealthy coping mechanisms, or just figuring out why and how you got to where you are, please contact me on Facebook, by phone, wherever, and we can get started right away. If you have friends or family that you think might benefit from my services, but you don't want to, you know, imply a sort of insult by saying, hey, you need help, tell them to listen to some of these episodes. I'm betting that once they get a sense of how I approach things, both in style and in substance, that they might take the plunge. And again, I have to reiterate, so far, every client I've had has gotten results almost immediately. Results may vary, of course, and I'm sure I'll eventually get a client who is a tougher nut to crack. But as of right now, it's been nothing but results, results, results. So please, don't let yourself or your loved ones languish any longer than is necessary. Spend a few bucks and give Reality Guidance a shot. This week, I wanted to cover something a little more subtle, this idea of half measures. It's subtle because it's not immediately apparent, A, why it might be a bad thing, and B, why it matters enough to devote an entire episode towards it. As always, though, let's first define what it is. When I talk about half measures, what I'm talking about is an attempt to hedge your bets. You come to a point of decision with a few possible directions to go in. You aren't quite sure which is the best direction, and you know that if you commit to one, it means closing off access to the other. And so in an attempt to eat your cake and have it too, you take a little bit from choice A, mix it with a little bit from choice B, you form this sort of hybrid choice C, and proceed to execute on that. Now, we have to establish why this is a bad thing. But to do that, we need to go back and figure out why anyone really bothers with this. After all, why not simply look at both options? And for simplicity's sake, my examples are only going to include two options, though I think we all know in real life there are usually many more per decision. But why not look at both options and simply choose the best one? It's actually two reasons. Number one, there's usually pros and cons to each option. A half-measure person will see the pros on both sides and it will paralyze him with decision. Or perhaps he's in damage control mode and he has to make a decision to minimize damage between two options. The same applies. Both choices will hurt in different ways and that leaves him paralyzed. Ultimately, he only wants positives and he wants to avoid all negatives. But life is rarely that cut and dry, and decisions are almost always a messy mix of good and bad, no matter which direction you choose. The attempt to chart a course that gives you only positives and no negatives is really an attempt to deny reality. It's trying to cheat cause and effect. But I'll get into that more in a bit. The second reason people choose half measures is because they don't feel confident picking, you know, quote unquote, an extreme. And you've heard this all of your life, probably. This idea that one must never, ever be fully committed to any idea or philosophy or mindset because that leads to fanaticism and dogmatism. Parents and teachers will point to ISIS or Nazis or whatever else and say, this is what people look like when they fully commit to something. And of course, there is some truth in that, but those parents and teachers usually don't understand the nuance of what they're trying to teach. The problem isn't the degree to which people commit, it's what they are committing to. And so instead of labeling certain ideas or philosophies bad, they make the mistake of implying that commitment itself is the mistake. This is where we get the amazingly flawed notion that the halfway point between two extremes is always better, smarter, more mature than committing to one side or another. We usually never test this theory. After all, can you occupy the halfway point between being a murderer and not being a murderer? But on some level, most of us vaguely accept this middle-of-the-road idea as true. That's where people get into trouble. That's where they start valuing the refusal to make a firm decision over commitment. So the first thing to understand is that it is no virtue to choose the middle of the road in everything. There are lots of things in life where you want to be in the extreme. You extremely don't want to murder people. You extremely don't want to overdose on drugs. You extremely do want to make money in order to support yourself and your family. You extremely do want high self-esteem and confidence. The sooner you can get over this impulse of neutrality that we've all been taught, the sooner you can start judging decisions on their merits and not their perceived degree of extremity. There's nothing wrong with being extreme if you're being rational. The most successful people in the world are always very bold in their decisions. They didn't get ahead by hedging every bet. They bet big. Okay, so once we clear that mental hurdle, we need to loop back around and address the idea of indecision paralysis. Implied in this indecision is something a little more sinister than simple ambivalence. Lurking under your hesitance is this notion of, if I choose wrong here and it turns out more negative than positive, I don't trust myself to handle those consequences. Say you're single, and thus you have no dependent family to consider, which would change the equation, and you're deciding between two different career paths. One is safe with lower pay, and the other is riskier with potentially much higher pay. Now, it's a given that you want the most amount of money possible, but are you willing to risk failure in order to get it? You try to measure in your head how much extra income really means to you and weigh it against the risk. And all of that is great, but the problem comes in when you decide that the safe job doesn't pay enough and the risky job is too risky. Why is it too risky? Well, because you might get fired, the startup company might fold, whatever it is, it means you lose your income. And that's where lots of people stop dead in their thinking. They stop with, I cannot risk being fired. Why? They might respond, well, you know, because it's being fired. No one wants to be fired. And of course, that's true. But stopping their thought process at, I'm fired, means they're really telling themselves, once I'm fired, it's over. There's nothing after that. It's not a conscious thought, because if you ask them what comes after being fired, they would say, well, I start looking for another job. But that notion of, yeah, I'll adapt, I'll move on, I'll make a new decision, it doesn't occur to them when they first choose their initial job. And so, because people fear that dark unknown of, I'll adapt when and if I need to, and maybe they don't think they can adapt, they try to eat their cake and have it too. They find a third career path that has only a tiny risk and a slightly higher pay. Why is that a bad thing? Well, it almost always is the worst of both worlds. You'll always, in the back of your mind, be thinking about the huge payday you might have had if you had had the courage to risk, giving it a shot. Meanwhile, you're still risking getting fired. After all, there's always that risk, even in safe jobs. So you can't completely relax your mind. And even if you could, that usually ends up creating a slowly decreasing sense of satisfaction, a sense of stagnation or malaise. When you try to have it all, you usually end up with nothing of what you really wanted. Choosing between pizza and a salad, and you settle on eating a muffin? Well, guess what? You didn't get the health benefits of the salad, and you didn't get the great taste of the pizza. It's a choice between two things you wanted, and you got neither of them. Applied to most decisions in your life, how on earth is that going to lead to fulfillment? You'll always be wishing for extremes and settling on bland and sometimes self-destructive compromises. Now, it gets a little difficult to parse this out in the real world because decisions aren't literal forks in the road with clearly defined roads. Sometimes the roads are blurred such that you can't quite tell where one ends and the other begins. Maybe it all looks like one big road. Maybe the roads share the same direction for a time, split off, and then rejoin later on. It's messy, and it's often unclear. Pizza versus salad is pretty trivial, but what about deciding between two different guys to date and eventually marry? How do you commit to another human being when doing so means closing off all the other alternatives so definitively? This is where it becomes so much more important to understand that compromising is ultimately self-defeating. It's why knowing yourself becomes so vital, and why those who don't end up with lousy partners. For instance, you could choose between someone who is very comfortable, non-challenging, easy to get along with, but unexciting and a little boring in bed. Or you could go for someone who is going to be lively, great sexual chemistry, but that will challenge you and not let you get away with much. If you choose a middle ground between those two guys, the guy you end up with will always make you long for the roads not taken. Of course, even if you go with one of those more extreme guys, you could miss the other extreme, but at least you got part of what you want, rather than a pale imitation of both. And that's the lesson here. Because of the way our brains are wired, attempting to get the best of both worlds will always result in getting the worst of both worlds. That's how we perceive it, because we are wired to regret decisions made out of timidity rather than bravery. We tried to get around cause and effect, and of course we failed, as we always will. That always leads to regret and unhappiness, and over enough time and enough decisions, the loss of self-esteem. Really, in all facets of life, big and small, life-altering and completely trivial, it's almost always better to fully and completely commit to one distinct road and not try to weasel into a middle ground. I urge you all to try it. Don't start on anything huge, just small things. Pick the salad or the pizza, and don't even consider the muffin. And if you've had pizza a few times in a row, pick the salad and don't regret it. You are never going to find that muffin satisfying anyway. All right, well, let me know what you think. Try going with full measures for a week or two and test to see if I'm right or not. I think you might be pleased with the results. And with that, I will talk to you all next week.